Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for listening. We have a great lineup today. We're going to get right to that, but I want to remind you that we've interviewed over 600 advisors, authors, and thought leaders on over 35 different topics, and you can find and listen to any of them at any time at our audio library on ExitCoachRadio.com. My first guest today is joining us from Seattle, Washington. He's Andrew McMasters from Improv Mindset, and we're going to talk about using improv and experiential learning to enhance business communication and drive innovation. So, Andrew, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Andrew, tell us a little bit about your background and your company, Improv Mindset. It sounds very interesting.
Sure thing. Well, I actually sort of have two positions. I'm the artistic director of a nonprofit improv theater company in Seattle, Washington as well. And that's a company that I co-founded back in 1992. And Improv Mindset is a consultancy and training business that I started a few years ago. My background is I have a master's of fine arts from the University of Washington, and I've worked for multiple organizations in marketing and messaging, companies like Apple, Microsoft, Cisco, Salesforce, just to name a couple. And I'm currently working with multiple clients doing a lot of communication training, innovation, new idea generation, as well as some presentation support on that. Working with Nike, NBBJ Architects, Microsoft, and I'm also doing some workshops at the Foster School of Business for the University of Washington as well, helping them out with innovation.
Well, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, doing a lot.
Very good for you, and very interesting background. How'd you come up with the idea of using theater techniques for businesses?
Well, for me, it's sort of a natural stretch, and a lot of people had written a while ago talking about how the MFA is the new NBA. It is that idea of you are actually thinking about how to present your ideas, how to tell your story, and also how to think differently, how to look for new solutions. I feel like a lot of people who actually go through arts training are really looking at the career in the arts and how that can work only for working in the arts itself. And for me, I've always been on the management side of the arts as well as being on the stage. So it was a natural switch to sort of figure out how to use these skills and to help business professionals use these skills in order to further what they're doing in their workflow.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, those people that are doing improv, they're just really gifted at what they do. And a lot of them, of course, are. But there's also a lot that goes into the preparation, like any kind of stage type of a performance, right? That there's a lot of preparation to improv, right?
There certainly is, and it's also that same idea of practicing a skill and then getting that skill to the point where it becomes second nature. It just becomes a discipline, something that you're doing. One of the big lessons that we teach all the time and that I do when I'm out working with people is the lesson of yes and, which is about hearing the offer, accepting the offer, and then building on the offer. And I have a number of experiential exercises that sort of work with that, and then we tie it together to the actual business workday flow that you have, so that you can figure out how to take this physical experience that you've just done on your feet and then put it into practical terms to use it in your business so that you can hear new offers, accept that offer, and build on it to drive a culture of innovation.
Could business owners get a lot more ideas out of their workforce if they use that technique, yes and?
Very much so. And that's what I work with when I work with CEOs. Two different levels on it. Number one is sort of making sure that you are able to hear the offers that people are bringing to you. And then also we work a little bit on status and communication in order to ensure that you are accessible so that people could bring your new ideas to them. One of the things I talk about all the time is your newest employee is the one who doesn't have the rose-colored glasses on, which means they might be able to see a way that you could change that you would never see because you've gotten used to the pattern that you're in. So being able to leverage that experience of a new person coming in and what they see and be able to use that to hopefully drive some new changes in your organization could be the next step you need to take.
Now, a lot of our listeners are, you know, age 50-plus business owners, and they maybe they've never studied or had to be in front of a stage, and maybe they've never been to a situation where they got stuck. What's a technique when you get stuck, when you're on an improv stage and somebody's throwing something at you and you get stuck? What's a technique to reengage yourself or move to another question or situation?
There's a lot of different exercises that I have that sort of help with that specific idea, getting stuck and where are you when you get stuck. And for a lot of the reasons, a very simple way is that sometimes you've placed a rule on yourself or you've placed a constraint on yourself that you don't realize you've placed. So it's really about being aware of what those rules are and then seeing whether or not they still apply to this situation. One of the things that I teach all the time is, how do I do this? Just do it. Am I doing it right? Yes. Because it's more important to actually make a choice and move forward and find out what you found out than it is to worry about it, hang on, let me see, and by the time you've actually made a choice, that moment has changed, which means you've made the wrong action for that moment.
Mm-hmm. Very good tip. Now, how do you get people to participate in your workshops?
Oh, that's always the fun part. It's a very interesting sort of style to get people on their feet and to make them feel comfortable. And that is a key thing in any one of the workshops. One of the things we talk about all the time in improvisational comedy is the fact that you're never really on the spot. In fact, it's really about an external focus. If I make my partner look good, then I'm doing my job. And they, in turn, are trying to make me look good. So I'm really focusing externally rather than focusing on, wow, the spotlight is on me and I feel uncomfortable. With that said, I spend about the first half an hour to 45 minutes of any workshop getting people comfortable with getting on their feet and actually doing some of the work so that then we can actually move forward and start to reinforce the lessons and the ideas that we have and then bring it back into how they could use it in their everyday work.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. Like, it has a lot of good applications for business owners who want to engage their employees more. And, you know, it sounds like you could do anything. What is it that drives you to do this type of work?
Oh, I love the excitement of it more than anything else. In the theater company that I started, one of the things we do is we actually work with incarcerated youth. We go out and we do free weekly classes for incarcerated youth in order to help them to sort of get a little bit more confidence and the ability to speak on their feet. And the difference that you can see with working with those kids for 1 hour, it changes how they operate. And I find that same thing happening when I go out into companies and I'm working with people. That little workshop, that 2 to 3 hours that I can get in just a small amount of time with someone, you watch people's faces light up and they understand a new way of thinking about a problem and a new way of adapting that they could possibly try something different tomorrow at work. And that part to me is exciting. I love watching people's faces light up when they found that.
That's great. It sounds very rewarding. And of course, a lot
it
of
is.
These techniques, you know, the stage techniques are important to understand whether you're giving a speech, whether you're standing in front of your employees, or whether you're trying to engage them and pull them in. All of these techniques sound very relevant. Can you give us an example, a client story or a success story, someone you've worked with?
Sure. I was working a little while ago with some groups of CEOs in various places around the country. And one of them I was remembering was in San Francisco, working with a group, and there was a CEO there that was talking about customer complaints. And, oh, this customer complaint, and they have one or two customers that just continually will send them letters and call and complain, and they're always complaining, and it's at a point now where their customer service people know who these people are, and they keep calling up and complaining. And I had to stop him and ask him, what was your business? And he said, I own a winery. And at that point, we had to kind of go back into the conversation and say, when I walk into the grocery store, how many different kinds of Chardonnay are there? There are hundreds. That person who's calling you isn't angry at your wine. They're angry at your brand. There is something there in your brand that they emotionally connected to, and now they feel that has let them down. And if you can actually hear what that offer is and try and figure out how to reconnect them emotionally to your brand, you could figure out a way that you could touch millions of other people. So it really was about leveraging that customer and leveraging that customer's passion in order to hopefully engage more people to your product.
That's interesting. You know, and it seems like the techniques that in improv, like you said, the yes and, which is not, which means that you're continuing the flow of thought. But if you put yes, but, that's going to stop a flow of thought. But isn't it true that the yes and is designed to continue to get to the next level of brainstorming, I guess we should say. So is that effective when someone is coming at you with a complaint like that, is to use the yes and technique? Or what type of What did they do to alleviate that concern with that angry customer?
It certainly is. Using yes and helps to let them know, I heard you, and I'm going to be able to take what you're saying, and I'm going to be able to use that somewhere else. A lot of the times what you do hear in businesses is either no but or yes but. And yes but is one of the things we actually talk about in my workshops as well. It's very much about, yes, I hear you, but that's not true. Yes, I hear you, but I'm not going to do that. So it's really saying yes, but really the answer is no. In a lot of ways, I like to call it the Seattle no, which basically means I want to say no, but I don't want you to hate me. So I'm going to say yes, but really the answer is no. And it leaves someone in this middle area that's sort of gray and doesn't really help them. No is a clear answer. I know that doesn't work. Great, I can find another direction and I can move forward that way. Yes is a clear answer and I can move forward with what you've told me now. So yes and is really about I hear you and let's try and figure out how to use what you're saying so that we can build something better. One of the things I think people get very scared of when they hear the idea of yes and is that it means, oh, okay, well, now I'm accepting your offer, even though your offer might be something ridiculous or something that me as a business owner, we can't afford or we can't do because we don't have the capacity. And I always have to remind people that yes and is not about accepting that offer and saying that is the way we're going to move forward. It's about saying, I hear you, and let's try and figure out a solution. It really is about taking people from what is their position that they've walked in with and taking them down to their interest so that now we can move it up in a way that is sustainable for both the company and for the individual.
That makes a lot of sense. And tying back to what you were saying earlier, often the first complaint that you're hearing isn't the real root of the matter. So the yes
right.
and, for instance, yes and, but and in addition to that, what else is bothering you about it might help you get to that root. Is that part of it?
Yeah, getting to the basis of what it is. And actually, I have a blog post on my website about that. It's called What's Under the Van. And the whole idea is that when someone walks in and says, this is what I want, and we have to have this, and it's very important, you can go, yes, and that's a great idea. And what do you think we will do with that? And you can continue to ask clarifying questions and accept and build and accept and build in order to find out that little bit of information that they had, which they really want to move forward with, that they weren't even sure of themselves. But when they walked into your office, it was manifesting as this huge, impossible idea.
That's great. That's really great. Now, it's clear that you have a lot of great information for our listeners. What tips or precautions could you share with our listeners?
The biggest one, I think, is just as we said, when we talked about yes and, it's really being aware of saying yes but. And I feel that is an area that a lot of people could use that help with. And just being aware of it, as I say all the time, you're not going to be able to stop something that is an ingrained practice overnight. But what you want to do is you want to try and make it into a discipline so that it becomes second nature. It's just something that you continue to do to say, yes, and how do we do this? And accepting and building. So the biggest tip that I sort of have people is just awareness. If you can start to become aware of the times you say yes, but in a day, that is the first step.
I like that. That's a great tip. How do our listeners find out more about hiring you for their business owner events and as a speaker?
Oh, it'd be great. Check out my website at improvmindset.com. And I'm also on Twitter at improvmindset. So follow me there or see any of the things. I've got contact forms there. Or if you need any other information, just email me. I'll get it to you.
Yeah, and I noticed you have resources for games and articles for the link between improv and business on your website. And you've also done a TEDx talk. What was that about? Was that about, obviously, improvisation, I guess? I should improvise
more. I've been working together with a friend of mine who is a neuroscientist. And he basically will talk about the parts of the brain that are being used. And then what happens is I will play games that actually use that part of the brain. So he and I kind of work together with he has the learning and the science behind it, and I have the art and the practice that sort of happens so that you can try out the physical skill, and then he will talk about how that works in your brain. So that's what the TEDx talk is about.
Well, it all sounds fascinating. You do talk with business owner groups like Vistage. You're a Vistage speaker, correct?
I am indeed, and I've also been working with lots of other organizations sort of across the country.
Okay, so if you have a business owner group out there, or if you know of one and they're looking for a talented speaker that can come in with an interesting topic, Andrew McMasters is your man. He's got a lot of great ideas. Tell us a little bit about what happens in your workshops with business owners.
Well, first thing I like to do is sort of set the ground rules so that we can understand where we are and why we're going to be doing the things that we're doing. And one of the key things with that is that this is experiential learning. I could stand with a PowerPoint and I could hand you slides, or I could hand you pieces of paper and say, this is what we're going to cover. And that's great, but that's a theoretical exercise. It's something that sort of happens in your head. How many times have we read a book about a new diet plan or a new exercise plan, and then we just forget about it the next day? So what that is about something that just kind of comes right in your brain and goes right out. What I like to do is get people on their feet. So on the exercises that I have, you're going to get on your feet and you're going to try a physical experience of doing that skill. So in my workshops, we start out, we talk about the ground rules, then we get people on their feet and we actually start working with those ideas physically in the room. Then we tie it back together to how you can actually be using this in your everyday work.
So people get a real hands-on experience, and what kind of comments have you gotten from groups that have had you lead their meetings in the past, speak at their meetings?
The biggest comment that I always get, I will always ask people what surprised them for the day, and the biggest one they always get is that they were extremely intimidated walking in. The thought that they were going to have to stand up and do something was very scary, and the biggest comment that I always get is that it wasn't scary at all. It was actually fun. We loved it. So I love getting that comment. The other one that I get from people, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's kind of like walking into the comedy club and there's only seats up front. Nobody likes
right.
those seats, right?
Nobody wants to be picked on, and I understand that. The number one fear people talk about is speaking in public or being put on the spot. What I think is funny is the number two fear is dying. So it really is that whole idea of people don't want to be put on the spot. So I have to spend a lot of time at the beginning of the workshop really getting people comfortable with standing on their feet and being able to talk to other people and being able to do the workshop pieces that I need to do.
Well, it's great information. Again, Andrew McMaster's at www.improvmindset.com. You can also find him on TED Talks. I guess they could go there and search for your name there and find your TED Talks.
They certainly can.
And that's a fantastic way to get to know Andrew. But if you have a group or if you're looking for improvements in your communication skills at your company level, give Andrew a call or check out his website and find out what's there. Andrew, what's the best way for them to reach you by phone?
By phone, I have my cell number, which is 206-240-6097.
Very good. And, of course, the website is improvmindset.com. Andrew, thanks very much for joining us. Very interesting. And I wish you good luck with your work. And maybe we can talk again sometime in the future and get deeper into some of these topics, because I'm sure there's a lot we can learn about what goes into preparing to be on the stage in an improv type of a situation. And you have that experience. So thanks again.
You betcha. Thank you for having me on.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with another guest. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.